has given us examples and teachings that teach us and show us what living truly is. And what living truly is to know him and to make him known. Amen. Just like on the sign out the front, is that as we get to know Jesus more and more in our lives, the desire in our heart bubbles up to overflowing, I would pray for each one of us, to go and make him known to someone else, to someone who needs him. And believe you me, as David shared this morning about the wars going on and the rumors of wars and all of the challenges and the turmoils that are happening on in this world, there is no greater time than now to get closer to Jesus, to come and hold him by the hand. If you've let go of his hand in recent times or in the years gone by, and you're contemplating and coming back to him in a new and a living way and a full way, now's the time, because the horizon doesn't look good in a natural sense. But I can tell you, we don't know, and I said we prayed this in prayer this morning, we don't know who holds the future. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And God is in control, despite the bombs dropping, despite the petrol prices going up, despite all of the unknowns of what the future holds. We know that God is in control, and he will look after his people as he always has. Amen. So, Lord, we just come before you this morning and thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace at this time. We know, Lord Jesus, that we don't have control over governments or any of that, and we can't say war stop and things like that, but you can. And we just surrender ourselves to you, Father God, and in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the turbulence of these times, Lord, we ask you for a peace that you would impart to your people, a peace that would surpass understanding. And we know, Lord Jesus, that the place that we find that peace is in your presence. The place that we find that understanding and them insights, Lord, is in your word. And the place that we find faith and faith grows, Lord Jesus, is in your word. Because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I thank you, Lord, as we hear by the word of God this morning, that we will not leave here like we came. We will shift our focus to what it perhaps was when we walked in here this morning. And that we know, Lord, that when we leave, we will never be the same again. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. This morning, the title of the message was a little bit hard to narrow down because there's two titles, but I will just work out which one to use. But pressing on toward the prize, I sort of combined them both together. And the passage that Max just read from Philippians, we're going to read again and just go through a study in that. But it's basically talking about that Paul has lived his life, he's planted churches, he suffered persecution. In his old life, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, the chief of sinners. He consented to the stoning of Stephen and so forth. He was a man not after God's heart, but on the road to Damascus, he became a man after God's heart. Amen. Have you had a road to Damascus experience? I believe if you're in here this morning, we all have. And if you're here and you're here to serve Jesus, you have had a Damascus road experience, that you've that God's pulled you up at some stage and said, Rebecca, Rebecca, why thou persecutest me? Or Anthony, Anthony, why have you persecuted me? Or why do you reject me? And then we come to that place in our hearts where we listen to that voice, whether it be through a sermon, whether it be through an evangelist on the street, whether it be by a television program, an evangelist on the TV. There was a time in our lives that we come to a point where we said, okay, enough's enough. This old life, I'm going to put it aside. And I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul, even though I didn't know him right at that time very well. But I'm going to be like him, and I'm going to say, I'm going to count my old life as rubbish, and I'm going to look to the future, a future with Jesus, that Jesus wants us part of his now, his and his future. Amen. So an illustration I want to share before we touch on the scripture this morning, to demonstrate this message of pressing towards the prize, having that motivation to live for Jesus, is an illustration that is very personal to me, and I remember it very vividly. There's a few aspects of it that I won't probably get exactly right, so forgive me for missing points here, but I was in primary school, and I was the koala captain of St. Joseph's School, year seven, yay, yay. Okay, I missed out on the school captain. I was not academic as such. I was more sporty. I loved cricket. I loved soccer. I loved athletics. I loved all of those things. But this story is about an athletics carnival that I once attended. And we had our local, or our St. Joseph's only competition, and we had, you know, all of the normal stuff, the long jump, the high jump, the 100 metres, the 800 metres, all of those things. Now, I was average at most of all of those, like, long jumps and all of that, but I would say, without putting tickets on myself, I was a very good long distance runner. I was hopeless at sprinting, I was hopeless at all that other stuff. But I was a very good long distance runner, and I loved long distance running, and I trained. I vaguely remember I even got Dad to measure out 800 metres for me from our house to a point so I could practice that 800 metre distance. And I got through the St. Joseph's School Athletics Championship, or what if you want to call it that, and I was then selected to go for the district 800 metres as their number one runner in 800 metres. And the day, it was a Friday, I remember it was cold, it was windy, as Stanthorpe always produces at that time of year. And I was really nervous. So nervous, I even said that I don't want to run this race. I'm just going to sit here. And the worst thing about being a long distance runner in those situations is that it's the last race of the day. You're waiting all day. You're watching the 100 metres, you're watching the 200 metres, you're watching all your mates racing and doing their thing, and you're still there shaking and being nervous, having butterflies in your stomach all day, and it just builds and builds like anxiety, yeah? Who's ever suffered anxiety? Well, that was an anxious day. But I remember, I don't know if it was my mum or my dad, but they said, if you run this race, we're going to go to the sports shop and we're going to buy you a cricket bat. I think it was a cricket bat. And it was like the Viv Richards one, and it was a V100. Anyone plays cricket knows cricket. The Schlesinger V100. And that was, besides Gray Nicholas and all that, that was the bat. They gave me an incentive, in other words, to run this race and to take my mind off the nerves. To cut a long story short, even though I've been going for 3 minutes on it anyway, I ran that race and I was at the starter's point, and there was one guy, his name I can't mention because I'm in a public place. His name was Daniel, is all I'm going to say. And he was a really good runner. He was the competition, ultimately. And he was the one that I 100% thought was, you know, easily going to win this race. And the starter's gun went, and I just paced myself. Soon as the gun went, the nerves went as well, by the way. You ever been in that situation where you've been nervous, and then all of a sudden you're in the position and you say, oh, well, I'm here now. I have to go through with this, no turning back. That's where I was. And I just ran that race, and I was coming third or fourth for most of the race. And I just remember coming around the final bend, I was behind Daniel and another guy. I was in third place. And I said, I can win this. I didn't say that. I didn't say, off to, I can win this, and then kept running. I had it in my heart, I can win this. And I just put the pedal to the metal and started sprinting, something I wasn't real good at, but sprinting. My lungs were under pressure. I had a stitch. My legs were like jelly. I'd had enough because the pace was good. But I got him at the line, and I won the race. And I got the prize. It wasn't a gold medal. Sounds like I was at the Olympics, this story, doesn't it? But it was just a little Stanthorpe Athletics. But the point was, I got that blue ribbon in my hand. I got awarded winning that 800 metres. Now, after that day, I went off to Toowoomba and Darling Downs Championships and that, and I never won a race again. But that day was special. And I did get my cricket bat, by the way. But my point out of that story is that I could have let those nerves, those fears, those anxieties hold me back from what could have happened, and what did happen in the end, as I won the race. The Christian walk's not too much different to that. When we're walking this walk that Jesus is asking us to walk, and he's calling us to ministry, he's calling us to do not just ministry in the church, but ministry. Do you know ministry just isn't in the church? It's not just a pulpit. It's not just behind a piano. Ministry is your life. Ministry is when you're walking at the Apple and Grape yesterday through those thousands of people and wearing a shirt that's promoting Jesus, perhaps. Ministry is when someone's down and out and you're just taking the time to go and help them. That's ministry. And Jesus is calling us to ministry. He's calling us to that place of relationship with him and to obey him and to follow him. and to press towards him. That song that we sang this morning, The Battle is the Lord's, there's the second verse of that song. It says, when the enemy comes, he comes in and he comes and presses on you. Do not fear. Do not fear. And I believe that's really good advice. Is it because the enemy comes and presses against us with everything he has. But we need to press against him with everything that we have. And you know what? You might think, I haven't got much. And you know what? You're right. You haven't. But Jesus has everything. You know, I take a look at the bombardment. This isn't a good analogy, but it's the only one I can think of right now. The bombardment of the Americans and the Israel is just bombarding Iran at the moment, just plastering bombs everywhere. That's nothing compared to the power of our Lord. Amen? God is powerful, and he wants to administer that power and allow us to walk in that place, but we need to keep our eyes and our focus upon him at all times. So this morning, in this passage here, there's three truths that I want to pick out, but we're just going to read through and study through some of these truths right now. And we've got to understand that pursuing God in a faithful way in everything that we do is our mandate. It's our calling. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or a youth leader or not a leader at all. I don't even care if you don't do anything in the church. As long as you're a child of God, you have a calling. You have to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that you do, everything that you say, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide you in every action and in every word and every deed. And if you can come to that place and say, Lord, it's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. The life which I now live, I live according to the will of the purposes and the plan, the blueprint of God. And if we can come to that place in our life where we just say, Lord, all to you I surrender. Don't just sing the song, but live the song. Amen. All to Jesus I surrender. And this is what Paul did. And starting in this first few verses, and I'll just get Margaret to bring up the first three verses, we're just going to go through those and just have a look at those just briefly this morning. So in chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 12, it says, not that I have already attained or already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the upward call, or for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. So these three truths that I want to touch on this morning, and number one is that we are still in a growing time. Paul said, I haven't attained. I don't say that I've apprehended. Does anyone know what the word apprehend means? Okay, well, I will just have to go to Google. Take hold, capture. So when a thief or a criminal is apprehended by police, they are captured, and then they were then taken into custody. They are at the mercy of their capturer, if that's a word. Now, Paul, even though he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament or more, whatever it was, at this time when he wrote this, he was living his life for Jesus. He'd planted churches, he's continuing to plant churches, and he'd suffered the persecutions, he has a heart for the souls of the lost. But he even said in this humility that he possessed in his heart, it's amazing what a Damascus Road experience can do to someone. It just gets rid of all that pride and introduces all that humility that Jesus so much wants us to live with. And he says, I have not arrived yet. I'm doing what I'm called to do. I've done great exploits, perhaps. You know, you might be thinking these things. Other people around you might be thinking, oh, he's just doing great stuff. You ever seen a minister that you just really admire for doing great things? But if that minister is saying, I have arrived, I'm complete, I'm perfected, he's going, or they're going, whoever, he or she, going against what God says, because we are not perfected. We are being perfected day by day. One day we will see Jesus face to face. At the moment, dimly in a mirror right now, very dimly for some of us. But one day we will see him face to face, and we will be as he is. We will be perfected one day. Now, we are on that journey. If you just want to, in your seats, just take some steps in your seats if you want. I'm watching the feet. Are they moving? This is the steps towards the Lord Jesus Christ, journeying in this journey in this world that we are not of. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're a strange people. You know some strange people? Look to the person next to you. If they know Jesus, they're a strange person, as far as the world's concerned. But I'd rather be a nutty Christian and know Jesus and have eternal life offered to me and salvation offered to me so that I can keep an eye on Jesus and focus on him than not know him at all and just be wandering around in a lost world where darkness surrounds us, where the enemy's pressing in harder and harder on the drug addicts and on the churches and on everything. But when he presses in, we press in harder. Amen. So we are, number one here, I'll get back to this. We are still in a growing place, as Paul admits. He has not arrived spiritually. Even though Paul, the apostle, had great faith in ministry, he knew he was still a work in progress. He was still the workmanship of God. And no matter what went right or went wrong, the passage in Romans, it says, God works some things together for good for those who are called. No one got that. All things together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. But what does it say? We have to diligently seek him. What does diligent mean? It means, this is Anthony's demonstration of this word, it's with everything you've got. Diligently. I'm going to push everything aside. I'm going to count my old life as rubbish. And I'm just going to put it all to the side. And I'm diligently going to seek and pursue God. I'm diligently going to run that race that he set before me. Because I know that there is a prize at the end. And I know it's an upward call. Do you notice it's an upward call? It's not a downward call. The world wants to call you downward. God wants to call you upward. God wants to encourage you. The world wants to discourage you. We need to understand that when you're on the team of Jesus, you're on the winning team, even when you don't think you are. There's a lot of persecution going on in the world. There's a lot of people losing their lives while we're sitting here in our easy chairs. There's a lot of people who won't sleep in a bed tonight. There's a lot of people who don't have food to eat tonight or at lunchtime when they go home. There's a lot of people, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but sometimes we just need to be reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ loves all of us the same, and we need to acknowledge the world that we're living in, and that the way that we are living, are we in a growth process and a growth attitude towards the Lord? Do you wake up every morning and say to Lord in your heart, maybe not verbally, but in your heart, I just want more of you today. I just want to grow closer to you today. I want to know more and more of what you have for me. The Christian life is a journey of growth, not instant perfection by any means, is it? Spiritual maturity means recognizing we still need to grow on a daily basis. We need to be watered. We need to grow. And how do we be watered? By the watering of the Word of God. The Word of God will transform you. So my encouragement to you out of that point is don't become discouraged by your imperfections either. When you come to that place saying, hey, I'm not perfect, don't go all the other way and say, I'm a waste of space. I'm imperfect. Because you're not. God loves you through your imperfections, through your warts, through your all of your pains and your wrongs. He loves you. And it's not just a love of what the world knows as love, but it's agape. It's unconditional, eternal love. Who wants to be a recipient of that agape? The love that only God can give. And that when he gives that to you, it overflows into others around you. So know this, that you are in a growth season. And that season will continue until you leave this earth. You will continue to grow as long as you are alive here on the earth. And then one day when you see him, you will see him face to face and you'll be as he is. Amen. Number two, part of that growth and part of that lifestyle of growth is that we must press forward. And as we press forward, we know that all of the past failures, all of the past successes even, all of the past doesn't matter anymore. It's tomorrow that matters. It's today that matters. It's from now on that matters. Amen? We've got to forget the past. Have you ever heard the little saying around the churches, let the past be past at last? Oh, well, you have now. Let the past be past at last. Don't let it hold on to you, because don't let your past define your future. You've got to make sure that those things of the past that are holding you back from what God has for you now and into the future, that will really affect you. It'll affect your ministry. It'll affect your family. It'll affect your whole life if you allow it to, because it will be, as Satan does, pressing in on you, trying to stop you and deter you from what God has for you. You might think, I'm just going to be a pew sitter for the rest of my life. Don't just write yourself off at that. God may have a plan, and he will have a plan for you. And you need to know that plan and follow that plan and pursue that plan as part of your growth and as part of that heart attitude of pressing forward, just as Paul did. As the passage said, but one thing I do, this is in verse 13, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. How many of you know it takes effort to reach? It doesn't just say, here, just Lord, just pour it all on me. No, you've got to reach out for it. Reach out and take what he has for you. He's not holding it back and saying, here, try and get it. He's got it in his hand, his open hand. And he's just saying, just take it. It's yours. Amen? Just take it. It's yours. It belongs to you. You're my possession. And I want you to live a life of flourishing and blessing. So the goal is ultimately the upward call. As we press forward, it's the upward call, the goal that is there, the prize. And what is that prize, or should I say, who is that prize? Uh-oh. Jesus. Amen. So we need to understand that we need to let go of the guilt, we need to let go of the past, and don't allow anything to stand in our way from pressing forward towards the goal, towards the prize, because the prize is right there waiting. Just like I ran that 800 meters race, that blue ribbon was just right there waiting with the judges. It was just needed a runner to run and run across that line first to become that recipient for it. Amen. So we need to get to that place in our lives. So we're just going to read a little bit further down here, because there's another area here, or another point that I want to bring out. There's actually more than three points. I think I said three at the start, but there's going to be more. As you read scripture, there's always more points. So in verse 15, it says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. So it's talking about two things here, unity and maturity. And we need to come to that place where we are a mature Christian. Have you ever had a friend or a family member or an acquaintance who is so immature and it just grates against you? No, only me. So there's people out there that just are so immature in life. But Jesus here, or Paul here, is teaching that we need to be mature. Not mature people in the world as such, but mature in him. Growing in him. It's all part of the growth process that God wants us to live by. And as we look into the next verse here, in the area of unity, it says, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. The Bible teaches us that if we are of the same mind, in the church or out of the church or in the family or in the job, wherever, how many of you know where there's unity, there's blessing? When you're on the same page, even as a husband and wife, if you're in unity, there's great blessing in that. Because ultimately, the greatest blessing of being in unity, especially with your wife or your spouse or your workplace, wherever, is that there is peace. There's a peace because you've chose to go that unity way instead of kicking against the goads or pulling the tug of war against each other and creating turmoil and hostility and anxiety and anger and all of those malice and all of those bad things. Because God wants all of that out, and he wants him in. Amen. He wants Jesus in. Get rid of all that stuff. Count that old life as rubbish, but take him and press towards him. And the way that we can do that collectively, either individually or collectively together, is that we are in unity. So personally, I have to be in unity with God's word as an individual. But then as a church, we need to be in unity together in the church with doctrine and with all of the things that can cause trouble in a church. So I want you to understand that unity is so important. The Bible actually says where there is unity, God commands the blessing. So if God commands it, does it come to pass usually? Every time. If God commands something, if God said it, that settles it. It's done. Amen. So as we continue through this here, it says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. That's verse 17. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, though whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Now, I couldn't understand that until I read verse 19. I couldn't understand why is these people, Christian people, enemies of the cross, enemies of what Jesus has. It's because they're not focused on him, because they're choosing not to grow in him. They're choosing not to press into him as Paul did. That's why they're enemies of the cross. Do you want to be an enemy of the cross, or do you want to be a friend of the cross? I want to be a friend to the friend who sticks closer to me than a brother. I want to be the best friend. Amen. I want to be there worshiping him and praising him and teaching his word and seeing people's lives transformed the same. And that's, as we read down here, what Paul is also teaching. He says here in verse 24, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. The will of, I said it at the start of the service, the will of God is to know Jesus and make him known. This was Paul's heart to the Philippian church as well. He was living it, and he was walking it, and he just desired so much in his heart that they would follow. Have you got a desire in your heart for your non-Christian family members to follow you? Not to follow you, but to follow Jesus. Follow the Jesus, because the only Jesus someone might ever see is the Jesus that's in you. Amen? Jesus doesn't often turn up in your bedroom and say, you know, you got to do this, this, and that. Who's had Jesus turn up and do that directly? Amen. Okay, he's got it. Who's in communication with the Holy Spirit in this house? Amen. If you're in communication with the Holy Spirit, Jesus will turn up in your bedroom. He will turn up in you. He'll come to your kitchen. He'll come to your laundry. He'll go to the toilet. He'll go anywhere to speak to you. Okay, now literally in the person, like I'm here in person, maybe we haven't all seen that, but I can tell you if you're in tune to the Holy Spirit, he will guide you, he will teach you, he will allow you to grow in him. And out of that growth that he wants to promote in your life, out of that overflow of what's in your heart to go and share the love of Jesus with other people, you will find yourself starting to live that when you see someone, instead of just talking to them about the Broncos losing on Friday night, or instead of talking to them about this or that in this world, instead of talking about filling their own belly, all of those things, you'll start talking God stuff. Who likes talking God stuff? Amen? Because as we talk God stuff, I know that's a bit slangy, but as we talk, we grow and we allow others to grow. We can change lives without even knowing it sometimes. I had the opportunity and the privilege to do nursing home ministry for a few years under the AOG church, probably about 12, 15 years ago, just locally here. And when we did, it was a convalescent nursing home, so it was a really, you know, the ones that weren't really well at all. And there was very little response. So when I was preaching to them or when we were singing songs to them, we didn't really feel about the best response I got there, I think, was a bird singing that they had in a bird cage one day. And the point was, though, those people were still receiving. They were still coming out every Sunday that we were there to listen. We don't know what impact we made on those people. Most of those people probably in with Jesus right now in eternity. But we don't know the impact that we made, but we still did it because it was part of pressing forward. It was part of looking to the prize, to the upward call of Jesus Christ. Because the upward call of Jesus Christ is a call that is so underestimated by a lot of people, but we need to place it on top of the list. on top of the list of our priorities. Our priorities are so important. As we go on to this third point, I threw a few other points in there, I know, but we'll still call this number three. And this is the final point. Everyone say hallelujah. He's almost done. Remember where your citizenship is. Paul reminds believers that our citizenship is in heaven. Christians live on earth, but their true home is with Christ. That's your true home. Doesn't mean you have to wait to live for Christ until you get to your true home. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to live for Jesus. So is tomorrow. So is the next day. And the day after that. The week after that. The month after that. The year after that. Until he chooses to call you home. And just know that your citizenship is with him. It's in Ephesians it says that we're seated in heavenly places. A place that we're not worthy to be seated. But a place where God wants us to be seated. Because he wants fellowship with his creation. So Jesus will return one day. Our lowly bodies will be transformed. Our lives completely restored. Our sicknesses completely gone. Our tears completely wiped away. When the Lord comes on that silver cloud of glory to take his church away. What a day that, what a day that will be. Amen. And we need to continue to take Paul's advice in Philippians 3 here to firstly say that we haven't attained, we haven't arrived yet, but we're on our way. We're on the journey. We're not turning back now. That we're not perfected. We haven't apprehended what all that God has for us. We haven't arrived spiritually, but we are journeying towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be eternally with him in his presence forevermore. So just recapping those three points, basic three points that we shared this morning, is that number one, we need to keep growing. Keep growing and growing and growing. And how do we keep growing? Well, we need to stay in fellowship. We need to stay in the Word of God. We need to pray. We need to desire the presence of God more than anything. We need to desire to follow hard after him and say, I will follow. I will follow him no matter what the cost, no matter what my feelings are, I choose to follow him. Number two, we need to keep pressing forward, all part of the following. And number three, that we got to remember who we are. We're of a special kind. We're of a special kind, and that special kind is children of the Most High God. Look at your veins, or look at one of your veins in your arm, if you can. Okay, no one wants to do that. His royal blood flows through those veins. And you're saying, no, that's my blood, but his royal blood, spiritually speaking, flows through your veins. The same power that rolled the rock, the stone away from the grave to release him at resurrection. That same power is in operation in your life if you will allow him to. And I say him because the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. He's not a force. He's a member of the Godhead Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he desires you to live a life fully surrendered to him in everything that you do. He desires you to follow him. There's many examples through Scripture where people chose to not follow God and they bore the consequences. But there's also many examples where they chose to follow God and they reap the blessing. So be encouraged by that message this morning. Know that you're not there. Know that you need to live in humility and not pride. And also know in your heart of hearts that you want to keep growing and growing and getting stronger in him. And the last point, which will tie in with the song we're about to sing, have a desire in your heart, no matter what, just to follow him with all your heart and with all your life. Let us stand. We're going to sing a song.